bless God. Yeah, so and as I said to Curry about that, I said that was just probably the most intense core of your ministry I've ever heard. And he was amazed himself how God had led him on that day on Saturday. And he said, we were just discussing that and we're going to package it up with a manual. We're taking it back to the States and we're going to actually write up a manual to go with that those messages on Saturday and release it to the body of Christ around the whole world. Like, what? Woohoo! God gave us an intense outpouring in that. Well, he gave us the... we haven't got the Sunday message yet. I'm hoping to get that across. But he gave us a USB with all of the Saturday audio, and it's now up online. So if you want to go through it and listen to it again and again and again, it's such an incredibly amazing presentation of God's Word with depth that really shook me in relearning what, quote, I already knew. Scriptures I'd learned all my life, things that I'd been trained and taught in, but what he did was take off the religious covers and the tainted covers and the conceptual covers and everything else that had been blocking the reality of that word in so many areas and reopened it all up. And I, for one, am just totally amazed at what God did through that. And then Curry has the audacity to get up here and say, this is entry-level functional Christianity. I'm like, what? Entry-level truth. And it so is. If you can get into God's Word and get hold of His truth without being clouded by all sorts of doubts and inhibitions and wonderings and whatever, there's such an amazing amount of capacity that we as Christians can learn, grab hold of, walk in, develop in, and operate in that he calls entry-level truth. And I'm like, it's so true. And what we've done over the years is we've put everything into sort of little baskets and categories. And I learned a lot from that, in the sense that if an evangelist comes to town, he's the evangelist. He's got the evangelistic abilities and capabilities that God's given him. He goes and reaches out, has a great lot of meetings and so forth. But if he hasn't taught us to evangelize, doesn't stay here. And so we need to really get hold of everything we've been taught to ensure the development of that truth in our lives to make us functional in the way that it was presented. Absolutely, I've got so many challenges that it's spinning my head out. But I've had an awesome week. I'm like Kerry as well. And it pushed me into the prayer line out there. I mean, I was out guiding and helping, and she's gone, come on. And I got out there, and I said, well, okay, God, you know the things that I need a fix up and whatever. I've had the most amazing week as well, with pains and aches that never that I've put up with that are gone. And I've had so many reports come in from other places. There was a guy, John, he actually rang me prior to the service, and he during the week, and asked about what was happening. I said, well, this is what's happening on Saturday. There's going to be some, there was supposed to be four, but he condensed it down to three sessions. And after that, there'll be a prayer time for people that need healing. And he was iffy about coming down. But a lady in his church who was not able to come because she was going to Perth for a family thing said, John, you can either stay here and stay sick or go down there and get healed. Take your pick. And so he came down. And I was talking to her on Tuesday or Wednesday this week. She said, John is a different guy. He's come back. He's completely healed. He had heart conditions. He can breathe. He's had checkups. He doesn't have to go in for operations. It's just an amazing change. So that's the sort of God we serve. Amen. But each and every one of us, now we look at Curry Blake and we go, oh, you know. I finally met a guy who's more disorganized than I am. And that's saying something, you know? He's so casual and so, yet so confident in God. And it was really an eye-opener to see somebody that wasn't all, you know, everything had to be perfectly timed, and we were starting at a certain time, and he came out and he said, "Oh, how's it going? You know, I saw a few people arriving." She's right. I got the back and wait. You know, we'll start when we're ready. And like, wow, that doesn't happen in most places, but it was just so good to see. And I really believe that it was a catalyst for much of what God's going to do in this place and around this region. For me, we've been praying for a long time for this town. We've been praying for God to move in his people and through his church. And for someone to ring up only a week in advance or send me a message and basically say, or his rep, George, just said, I've just been talking to Curry this morning and he's asked if you'd be interested in having him in your church. And I'm like, you can't be serious. You know, I couldn't have arranged it if I'd tried. And yet, a couple of months ago, I remember saying, I know God is stirring us. He's preparing us for something. And I didn't know what, because I couldn't see it or plan it or perceive it. But then we come in, a guy comes in that God has worked on and has developed his life because he was devoted to what God wanted for him. And his testimony is just amazing. So bless God for that. I want to go through a couple of things. I know I finished a couple of weeks ago. And again, some of the message that I preached 2 weeks prior or 2 weeks ago, Curry was covering the same territory. But the scripture in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the authority, the right to become the sons of God. And that area there is not little baby born, newborn Christians. That is the ones that have come to God. He wants us to be his fully grown, mature children, not his little kids. And so he gives us that capacity. We come to him, we have that absolute capacity as a God-given right and ability, not to stay children, not to stay young in our faith, but to grow up and mature. And I think that's an amazing scripture that's been used out of context for so many areas. But that's what God wants us to be, a fully grown, mature, manifested son of God, as in a grown up with responsibility. And it says, even to them who believe in his name or on his name, which is its full power, its full functionality and its full authority working in and through our lives. We don't say the name of Jesus at the end of a prayer, 10-10, over and out, catch you next time, Lord. That is a position of authority that signs, seals, and declares everything we've asked God for or prayed to be put into action and practice. Amen? Amen. It is. We were standing there as his ambassadors, as his representatives. And even if I pray and I don't say in Jesus' name, because I have the power and authority of God as a son of God in my life, or a daughter, not discriminating here, every one of us here are in that category, and that is what God hears from the heart of his children. Amen. Because your kids don't come to you and say, you know, "Mummy, can I have this in your name?" No, they just say, "Hey, Mum," and they make their demands and requests quite openly and clearly, and they know that they have that right as your child to make requests of you. And that's how God sees us. Amen? So good. And so move on from that slide. And just looking at our natural parental instructions and things. You know, we see our kids grow and we actually see them start to do things for themselves. Now, I don't know about you, but I remember my kids always had this capacity to be able to, they wanted to take the spoon. Now, the stuff went more everywhere than in the mouth initially. But they began to try because they wanted to do it. And I remember Chad, I do it. And then his little next thing was, Chad, do it. And so he would always be like that. And then I would try and do something for him and he would say, "I can do it by myself." And he was really dogmatic that he could do it by myself. And so we watched him develop and we watched him grow. And it was so good. I was playing with a little girl last night named Zali. And Zali's a gorgeous little kid. Mum and Dad are over there. She upstairs, is she? Yeah, she's with the other kids. And you know, Zali is an amazing kid. Zali has just got such drive and such tenacity. And we were playing with the little toys on the table there that Aisha and Reuben play with. And I got some little plastic block things out and I started stacking them up to a tower. And she's watching me. And she goes, I do it. And so I'm like, how cool is that, that a kid wants to do it? Now, I'm not even the parent, but I really welled up with, wow, this little kid's really having a go. And if we are so happy with seeing our children like that, I wonder if God feels the same way when we have a go. I wonder if he's got that same... Of course he has. He's a father. He's the greatest parent of all, amen? Absolutely. And so I really believe that when we see a truth in God's word, when we see an aspect of something God has entrusted us with, and we act on it, I really believe we've got a dad that says, come on, kid, have a go. Yeah. I really do. I'll put a note there. Benson Idahosa. Now, I remember hearing that guy in Melbourne several years back in the 70s last year, and he was getting older and going on in years then. But he was in Nigeria, and he was actually a bishop in some denomination there, I can't remember what. Reading his Bible one day, he read the scripture that I'm going to finish up with later on, the things I do, you will do in greater works. And it says you'll, you know, go out, lay hands on the sick, they'll recover, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and all that sort of thing. And he's reading it, and he went, I didn't learn this in my training. God, if this is meant to be what I'm doing, why aren't I doing it? I want to try. So he got his push bike out and he rode around the town looking for somewhere to pray for someone to see something happen that he'd never done before. And Benson Idahosa came across a commotion outside of a house and he stopped. What's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? And he said, oh, the lady inside has just died. And he said, really? Just what I'm looking for. And he went straight inside the house and said, in the name of Jesus, I raise you up, get back to life. And she comes straight back and the kids were crying because mummy had died. And he acted out of what he saw in God's word as something he should be doing. I went, wow. Now that guy came out and he became quite an amazing worker, I suppose you put it that way, in the miraculous of what God wanted. There were many people raised from the dead under his ministry. There were many that were healed. There were crippled that were completely restored, feet that were straightened, legs that were healed, people out of wheelchairs. Many, and he's not the only one, but there were many others. Tommy Osborne was one like that. And T.L. Osborne was a guy who went around preaching all around the world, and I remember seeing movies of him. I actually met him once in Melbourne and talked to him at the end of a campaign. But he saw the reality of the truth of God's word, and he would get up in a crowd of 100,000 people and he would say, there's people here with blind eyes. I command them to be open in the name of Jesus. There are people here that are crippled. Begin to walk in Jesus' name. If you're in a wheelchair, stand up and run. If you've got crutches. And he went to a meeting one particular day, and as he was being driven towards the stage in a car, he saw a guy who was so crippled, his legs were twisted the wrong way, feet the wrong way, and this guy is shuffling along real difficult. And he got up on the platform at the end of his message, and he said, I saw this man. And he said, in Jesus' name, run to this stage, and the guy completely got healed. That's the God we serve. That's the God that wants us to operate in a same capacity, because T.L. Osborne is just your and my brother in Christ. But he saw the truth in God's word and went ahead and acted on it. Benson Idahosa was the same. And so there are many that see the reality of God's word. T.L. Osborne tells another story. He brought out a film called Black Gold. In fact, he had three amazing films, Java Harvest, where he was in Java and campaigns there, and thousands of people got saved and healed. He was in Holland, and Holland was an amazing, miraculous trip for him. He went Black Gold, where he went into the Middle East, And he started preaching and he says, God's word says. And he was pulled up by someone in the front row that jumped up and said, that's not God's word, and pulls out a Quran. He says, this is God's word. We don't want to listen to you. And the crowd, he basically lost them because of this guy who was some person of notoriety in the region. So he went home to America and he said, God, I failed. Lord, what is it that I need to do? He said, I didn't send you there to just be a persuasive convincer. He said, I sent you there to be a miracle worker. Go back and show them. Their Bible, their book cannot do what I've given you the authority to do. Back he went with another campaign and he didn't even preach. He said, I'm not going to preach from a Bible that you don't agree with. I'm going to show you what the Word of God does if you practice it and put it into life. He said, everyone in this place that's got a sickness, stand up. He said, now those of you that are, and he just named a few, and people were getting healed all over the place. And you know, those three countries today have virtually closed the doors to Christianity. There was an engineered move to just shut that sort of thing down. And it's very, very sad that you go into some of those places now and the Christian testimony is being crushed and being persecuted and being knocked around. But there were amazing miracles that happened. And this whole world's the same. It's not just little places like, or big places like that. There's so much more. Let's move on. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians, and this I love, grace was given to each one of us. To each one of us. You got it? Curry Blake's got it? I've got it? We need to recognize that in Jesus' name. And it says, according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says in the Word of God, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, or he set free and led a host of captives, but he gave gifts to men. In saying that he ascended, what does it mean? First, he descended into the lower regions of the earth at his death at Calvary, obviously. And he who descended is the one who also ascended above into the heavens that he might bring to completion or fulfill all things. Signed, sealed, delivered, done. When he went back up to the right hand of the Father, there was nothing more that he had to do. The whole thing was accomplished. Amen? Brought to fullness and fruition to the nth degree. And then he turns around and he says, and he gave apostles. This is Paul writing. He gave prophets, he gave evangelists, he gave shepherds or pastors and teachers to do a certain work. Now, these are the people that God gives some capacity to help lead others. Now, I might be a pastor in this church here, but I walk out that door and I'm a Christian just like you in a city that needs Jesus. They don't look at me and say, oh, the pastor's coming, maybe he can help us. No, they're just looking for answers anywhere. And the answer's in all of us, if we know Jesus, all right? Because the ministries in verse 11 have a purpose. And verse 11 goes into 12 and it says, to equip the saints. Got any saints in this place? All of us. You're a child of God, you're a saint in his eyes, amen? To equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Never turned around and said the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and healing gifted ministries would be the only ones doing anything. And I love what Curry said. He said, if I am called of God to do what I'm doing and I don't pass that on to others, I've actually failed. And I'm thought, wow, the guy is so real. And so he's come here and given us virtually a whole bunch of his life input to say, now what you do with it, it's your responsibility, I've passed it on. I think that's incredible. And so the work of the ministry, and which is the building up of the church or the body of Christ, is done through several facets and aspects, and it can be done through us being obedient in so many areas. I'm not saying we all go out there and do exactly and copy and whatever, but I believe if we recognize God's equipped us to be able ministers of his word, then be prepared. Opportunities will come knocking. opportunities will be there when you least expect them. And sometimes people take them and sometimes they don't. I had a guy in Sydney last week, in Queensland, I was in Brisbane. He's a customer of ours, he's been a customer for a long time, and I rang him up, said, "How you doing, Gary? I know you've been doing it." He's been doing it tough with a lot of skin cancers, and he's had a lot of other jawbone things where they've had to cut things away, and he's a bit of a physical mess. And I just wanted to talk to him and just see how he was. And we just started sharing and talking, and everything was running great guns until I said, "You know, let me tell you about a guy who was in our church last week." And I told him a little bit about Curry Blake. I told him a little bit about what had happened. I told him a little bit about what I'd seen happen in my life with miracles. And I was hoping Gary would be a little more responsive. I was really saying, "Come on, God, I'm on my road." And he just turned around and he said, "Oh, and by the way," totally went off track to another subject. And I sat there a little disappointed and I said, "God, what do I do with this now?" He said, "I just felt inside, you've sown enough. Just pray for him." Okay. Wasn't going to push it, wasn't going to stretch it, wasn't going to, you know, grab him by the throat. "I'm talking to you," you know. It was just like, okay, I got the picture, I got the vibes, and it was like, okay, back off. There's something there that God needs to generate within him before he can be a little more responsive. And I really believe that that's the way we need to be, just prepared to move as God gives us the opportunity. And the opportunity was there to say so much, but no more. So that's, to me, I've done my job so far. It's not finished, but there's more to come. I'm ready. And I don't know whether he will even listen to me again. But you know something? That what Jesus said, "Pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers." I don't know who's in his life and who else he knows, but I'm believing there's a laborer of God somewhere that can bring the rest of the message to him. Yeah, why not? Amen? Why not? And so let's be prepared. Now, you might be not just left like that. You may find yourself in a situation where you can take the thing the whole way through. Don't shirk your responsibilities, because God wants us to be active for him. Amen? Let's move on. Here we are. "Because we are to go on, we're to be made able ministers, brought up by ministries until we attain to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God." You know that Jesus, we got to know him. We're getting to know him even more. I still am getting to know him on a daily basis. Daily, I stand in awe of my God. I just get blown away by his goodness, his love, his compassion, his faithfulness, everything about him. And I see his hand at work so many ways, not just in my life, but in others around me. And I get completely in awe of him. And just, "God, once again, I stand in awe of you. You amaze me." He never ceases to amaze me. But I'm looking for it. I'm looking for it. I'm looking for God's hand at work in places. And as I'm looking for it, I'm seeing it, which is just incredible. But I'm seeing it in ways I never expected. And so getting to know the Lord. "But I come to the knowledge of the Son of God and a full mature manhood equal to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Now, Christ is not Jesus' name. Christ is the New Testament equivalent to the Old Testament word Mashiach or Messiah, anointed or empowered or one that God was, you know, set up. And so Jesus was the Christ, the anointed one of God. Okay? And people call him Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus the Christ is actually more accurate. The anointed one of God, the empowered one of God to do what he was sent to do and to be who God wanted him to be. But when we are given the capacity, if Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing dwells in your hearts by faith, we are coming to grow up into him, which is what? The head, as children of God, to become the fully grown manifested children or sons of God because we have that same empowering and anointing to the measure of the stature of the fullness of the anointed one and his anointing. That might be scary. That might give shivers to some people. That might think, who, me? I could never do that. What does God's word teach us? See, it's truth. It's truth. We've got to get hold of truth. And the Bible says the truth sets us free. Free from what? Free from our inhibitions. Free from our lack of confidence. Free from the things that hold us back. Sets us free from our sins and all those. And that's, I think we just say, oh yeah, great, I'm free from all that. No, no, no. There's a freedom and a liberty and going on in God that takes us into a level of confidence in Him that we can do what He says we can do. I'm so excited by that. I think that's incredible. So that we are no longer kids, that tossed to and fro by every little bit of excitement that comes along, by the next little thing that tickles our fancy. You know, kids. And children in churches, really, it really fascinates me, because every now and then people in the church, oh, did you hear what's going on in this part of the world, dear? And they want to run all over the place just to see something happening, as if it's like their next little toy event. And I'm like, okay, that's great what God's done in different parts of the world. I'm excited by it. I'm passionate about what God does. But I don't have to go there to see it. I know what God's doing. Not only do I not have to go there and see it, I can sit down and say, well, okay, Lord, when is it Gisborne's turn? What are you going to do here? How are we going to be prepared for what you want to do in this place? That's my passion. He didn't call me to run over to Florida or Canada or any other parts of the world just to be a spectator of what He's doing there. He's called me to be an active participant in what He wants to do here. Amen. And so I find that a lot of people are like children. They're just looking for the next little wave of excitement. But really, honestly, we need to be careful, because some of those things can deceive us into thinking, oh, wow, I've seen this and I've been there and I've done that. And we think somehow or other we've done our duty, or it's part and parcel of our Christian life and calling. No, not necessarily. Because if we get caught up in that, we miss the reality of what God wants for us. We need to be speaking the Word of God in love. I think that's one of the areas that is missed a lot. And I really saw a heart of love in a guy last week. He's passionate about people. Passionate beyond degree. I just could not get over the fact that he could see where people were hurting, where people were missing out, where people would that needed God's hand and touch of healing or deliverance or whatever in their lives. And his heart was just one of complete compassion and love for people to be set free. Wow. And I just haven't had that same degree operating in my life. And I know I've got to. I've got to just let God's love loose in me, so it's free to work through me. Amen. And so we speak the truth in love. Growing up in every way, and I've put a little bracket in there which I just added to it, into a replica of Him who is the head, even Christ. That's it. That's His heart for us. You know, Jesus said, it's best for you that I go away. Because if I stay here, there's one of me doing a limited amount of work, but that's not the Father's plan. The Father's plan is to release that same anointing into you guys. So if I go away, there won't be just one of me trying to win the world. There's 12 of you. There'll be 120 on the day of Pentecost. There'll be 3,000 saved the first day Peter preaches, basically, with what he could see ahead. They didn't say that to them then, but God knew what was going on. And God knew that in multiplying the church, He would be multiplying the anointing that He had for the church to function with. And somewhere along the line, we've let it slip. We've let it slip. And it's really sad. That's a skill the church has got to grow back into. We are grow up in every way into a replica of Him who is our head, which is Christ, the Anointed One, and His anointing. And from Him, the whole body is joined and held together, and every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And I'm fascinated that the church is used in the scriptures as a body in analogy. Because if a body is dysfunctional in many areas, the whole body's hurting. You have a sore foot, ankle, whatever it might be, your ankle is not isolated and just hurting down there. Somewhere along the line, it registers right through. And you know you have to treat yourself more cautiously or carefully because of the injury. Because you don't want to feel it. No one likes to feel pain. But you know, when the body of Christ is hurting, we've become insensitive to one another. We've become really sometimes cold. But God says you're a body. And when every part is functioning the way that I want it to, it's going to be a force to be reckoned with. This is the body of Christ. This is the anointed one and his anointing. I don't have everything, I don't have every answer, and I don't have it all. But I tell you what, if I'm the little finger and you're the little toe and you're someone else's the hand and someone else's a foot and someone else's whatever, the part of this body, it functions as God intended. And we all fulfill our part, amen? Oh, and then everybody gets up in full confidence that they can do what God wanted. Next one. And so as we go on, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into who is the head, into Christ. Speaking the truth in love, a full replica. I've already done that. Let's move on. 1 John 5:14. I love this scripture. I'm going to explode this up in a minute. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know we are already possessed, or that we have the petitions, it says in King James, already possess what we have asked. That just really is a statement of ultimate faith that we don't really grasp too much. Because when we pray, we generally pray, God, do this, or I need this, or will you so-and-so get involved in this situation, healing or whatever it might be, and we sit up and we wait for some sort of physical manifestation that it's happened. But God says, believe it when you pray. When you pray, believe you receive. And so what we've got to determine is whether we're going to believe God or believe what we see. And we really need to start to believe God fully and unquestioningly. Because if we do that, we pray and we say, thank you, Lord, I know that that is now in action. You've sent it, it's on the way, I receive it and I believe for it in the name of Jesus. Now, whether it's for me or whether it's for someone else, this is the faith and the confidence we need to have in him. That when we ask, we receive. Amen? Let's go on. I've blown this up, took a bit of the Amplified and took some liberties with it. But this is something I believe we need to get hold of, and I would love you to grasp in its fullness. Have a look at this with me. I'm going to sit down. This is a confidence, a guaranteed assurance of privilege and boldness that we have in him and from him. That if we ask anything or make any request, qualified it, that is, according to his will and in full agreement with his word, he hears us. So we don't go asking for crazy nuff-nuff things that are not in line with his will and word. All right? We can't turn around and say, God, I need $1 million. He goes, no, you don't. You need to trust me for your. I'll supply your needs. So we don't go asking for crazy things. If we ask everything and anything according to his will and in agreement with his word, he hears us. And this is what the Bible tells us. And if we know, again with full confidence and assurance, and because he hears us in whatever we ask of the requests that qualify, we know confidently that we already have full supply and possession of every request we have asked of him. Now, that might be a little bit over the top, I don't know. But if you read what God's saying in the scripture, is anything there that shouldn't be there? Is there anything there that you could say, well, okay, that's not what it means? I really got God on this. I was just saying, come on, Lord, what is it that you want us to understand out of this scripture? And I looked at it and I looked at it, and it absolutely just came to me that everything that I wrote there is nothing there that God is going to hold out on. Nothing. And we can quote that scripture. I remember that scripture being a chorus when I was a kid. And that was without all the added bits in, of course. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we sung it. And we sung scripture choruses, and everyone wrote a song. But did we understand it? Did we apply it? Did we grasp its fullness? Nah, not at all. It was just a good song we sung every Sunday or every second Sunday in church. That scripture, as I started to listen to Curry Blake, other scriptures came in that he didn't mention that have absolutely regurgitated and churned up within me, making me see them in a whole new light and a whole new understanding of the reality of what God has made available for us to understand, live in, and walk in. And I'm encouraging you to take hold of that message that was preached and on the podcast and listen to it several times. If God is who he says he is, and we fully believe that, we have no option but to fulfill the scripture and have every confidence in him when we step out in faith and according to his will, with requests, prayer, and actions that are aligned with his word. Amen? No reason not to. Jesus said, the works I do and greater works shall you do because I go to the Father. That really is, I think, the crux of what God wants for his church and his people today. To reach out to, he saw the crowds, he had compassion. He saw people, he was moved. He was wanting people to receive everything that the Father had made available to them through him. And that should be our heart as well. Move on. I just looked at that in some of the other versions. Truly, I tell all of you emphatically, it says in the International Standard Version, the one who believes in me will also do what I'm doing, and he will do even greater things than these because I'm going up to the Father to make sure it gets done. Really? that's so clear. You couldn't argue with that. In the NET Bible, the New English Translation, I tell you the solemn truth. The person who believes in me will perform the miraculous deeds that I'm doing and will perform greater deeds than these because I'm going to the Father. What a promise. New American Standard, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do because I'm going to the Father. One more over the next page blows me right away. The Aramaic Bible in plain English, which I've never read, but I saw this on the reference on the internet. It says, this timeless truth I tell you. So it's never going to change. It's timeless. It's what he said. A timeless truth I tell you. Whoever believes in me, those works which I have done, he will do also. And he will do greater works than these because I'm going to the presence of my Father. And I really believe, just in finishing, I'd love to give you a couple other scriptures. There's, you know, one in scripture, let's draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Full assurance of faith. Comes up with confidence. There wasn't any more on that, was there? No. Full assurance of faith. You know, we can say we have faith in God, but let's put him to the test with full assurance that there will be action when we take action. God is not holding out on us. And you know, just to talking to Curry Blake, I wanted to bleed his brains and draw on him and his experience. You know, in the early days when he promised God after his daughter died and said, Lord, if you'll teach me the truth, no one responded for my cry to come and pray for my daughter. No one stood with me for her healing. If you'll teach me the reality of your word and the truth of your healing power from your scriptures, I will be available to anyone who needs it. I will give my life and dedication to being available for anyone who needs prayer and healing. And that's where the man came from. That's what his promise was to God. What happened in the early days? He was still studying the scriptures and understanding what God said. And he said, I didn't actually have any great physical sensations or anything. He said, I just obeyed. I just obeyed when it said go out and heal the sick. He said, I decided to go out and do it. I realized from the word of God that the life of Christ was in me for a reason, not to make me feel good and give me a good Christianese life. It was there because God needed me to impart that life to others. Like Benson Idahosa. Man, can I do that? Is that what God wants? Chewing around waiting for, looking for an opportunity. I got to see if this works. And out he did, and away he went and continued in that anointing. And in actual fact, Benson Idahosa grew to such status in Nigeria that when Parliament was sitting, if God gave him a word for the government, he would walk into Parliament and the Speaker in the House would say, the man of God is here, all rise. And they would give him the floor. That's the type of people God wants to raise up. People that can challenge or speak to governments. People who can give the word of God in situations where it's probably never heard. Amen. Let us draw near with a pure heart and full assurance of faith. And when you got that full assurance, that's the confidence. It's not self-confidence. I don't have much in the way of self-confidence apart from things that I'm skilled in and can do well physically. But when it comes to the things of the Spirit, my confidence has to be in God. And it has to be so overflowing. If I can have confidence in myself to do certain things, it should be far greater where God's concerned. Far, far greater. And that's my challenge to me. Is, okay, don't hold back. Don't chicken out. That's the things that's probably held me back the most in my life. Is, what if it doesn't? None of my business. My job is to pray. And especially when Curry told the story of the girl in hospital that he went in and prayed for, no sign of her getting healed, no sign of nothing. And he just walked up and said to his mate who was with him, okay, job's done, let's go. I'm like, she's still in bed sick, she's still crook, she's still in a coma, she's still broken up, she's still all smashed about through whatever happened to her. But within an hour, I think it's half an hour, he gets a phone call back in his office. She's up, she's running around, every bone's healed, every part of her body's healed. The doctors virtually had written her off and said she'll never come out of this. And he just walked in, spent a few moments by side of her bed and said, the life of God changes body, release you from this coma and heal every part of your body that's broken in the name of Jesus. And he walked out. And I'm like, how simple and easy, if you're walking in full assurance of faith, is it to operate as a huios, a fully grown, mature child of God? That's a challenge or what? That is a real challenge. And he hasn't left us unequipped. He's given us all the equipping that we need to go in and do what we've got to do. Amen? Doesn't leave us on our own. Father, I just so bless you. Jesus, I honor you. Holy Spirit, I thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. For the way that you love us, the way that you're compassionate and passionate about us, the way that you lead us and guide us and draw us on and draw us into yourself. I'm in awe of, Lord. Your patience is amazing. Your love amazes me. And I pray, Lord God, that as we grow to know you, as you reveal yourself, as you teach us from your word, as we get into that word and see the reality of all that you are and all that you've done, Lord, I pray the lights will all turn on in the spirit realm with inside of us to see exactly who you intend for us to be in functionality and in every effective way for your kingdom, in the life that we have, in the circle of friends that we have, in our homes, in our families, in our workplace situation and everywhere that you've got us placed, where we're in contact with people that need you, I'm asking, Lord, for a reality of effectiveness to begin to work in and through your people. Not just us, Lord, but everyone who's reading your word and understanding. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, that we would have full confidence and full assurance of faith that you've made available to us, welling up in us to make us strong in the Lord, to be bold, just like they were in the book of Acts, where they went out with boldness and declared the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for that capacity. I thank you for that authority. I thank you for that right. I thank you for all that you've made available to us. Father, we repent because we haven't delved into those resources effectively. Because we've heard your word, we're without excuse, Lord. So I thank you for the challenge. And I praise, Lord, that for your Holy Spirit to give us the boldness and the tenacity and the confidence now to rise up and do all that you've called us to do in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.